In Washington, D.C., the controversy around former Trump Staff Secretary Rob Porter is front and center. The House Oversight Committee is now investigating how the White House has handled the case. Porter resigned last week when allegations became public that he had physically abused his former wives. In the past, Porter failed to get permanent security clearance because of those claims. Questions are mounting about what Chief of Staff John Kelly knew and said about the allegations against Porter. On CNN this morning, Republican Committee Chair Trey Gowdy referred to his background as a federal prosecutor.
I spent two decades believing women and children who alleged abuse, even sometimes when no one else did. So whether or not there's a security clearance at issue or not, I have real questions about how someone like this could be considered for employment, whether there's a security clearance or not.
And House Speaker Paul Ryan weighed in on whether President Trump should say something publicly to condemn domestic violence.
Clearly we should all be condemning domestic violence. And if a person who commits domestic violence gets in the government, then there's a breakdown in the system.
This morning, President Trump, for a third time in 2 days, ignored shouted questions for a response.
Also, the president's attorney admits he paid a six-figure settlement out of his own pocket in 2016 to a former porn star who has claimed to have had an affair with then-candidate Trump. Here now, political analysts join us. Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And Alice Stewart is with us as well, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And let's start with that story that continues to unfold. The New York Times broke the story of Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, paying $130,000 to the actress known as Stormy Daniels a few weeks before Election Day, around the time of the Access Hollywood tape of Trump bragging about groping women. Is this something, Alice, that you're concerned about as a Republican strategist?
It is concerning when we have in the middle of Infrastructure Week. Happy Infrastructure Week, by the way.
Right. This is the third one, I think, so far.
Exactly. The pivot is unfortunately and understandably not working. We should be talking about immigration and infrastructure and ways we can get our economy to grow our economy. But here we are in the midst of this. And, you know, just when we thought the adult film actress fiasco was behind us, it unravels even more. And I think that is troubling. But even more so with regard to this Rob Porter situation, and the fact that we have someone who has been accused by multiple women, multiple wives of domestic violence, and as we just heard, if a person with this kind of background gets into the White House, there's a breakdown in the system. So we have the problem with the system is broken, but more importantly, the character issue here, the fact that the president of the United States cannot utter the words that domestic violence cannot and should not be tolerated, and cannot say that he believes these women, and we need to, as a country, get to the place where we understand and have an environment where women who are victims of domestic violence can come out of the silence and can speak freely and not support someone just because he's a pretty boy with a pedigree.
We did hear today from the Vice President Mike Pence, who said the White House could have handled the Porter situation better. He also said that the president and he have great confidence in Chief of Staff John Kelly. So first question, does this mean that Kelly survives despite taking an awful lot of heat, Jamal?
I think that John Kelly has revealed things about himself over the last couple of months that should bring concern to everyone. He attacked Congresswoman Frederica Wilson and was proven wrong in the attack that he made, refused to apologize to her. Then we see what happened where he with Mr. Porter, where he chose to stay on Porter's side and said he stood by his characterization of him as, you know, as a good person, as good character. But they're not alone. It's not just about John Kelly. It's about the president of the United States, who had a national security advisor plead guilty of a crime. They had the CDC director who was trading tobacco stocks. They've got John Porter, who's been beating wives. I mean, there are so many people in this administration, porn stars who are circling around this man and other people suspected of being Russian agents like Carter Page. What is it with Donald Trump and the people he attracts? I think that he is careless with our government. He is careless with our secrets, and he's being careless with America's future.
So
it's
just
time for us to figure this out.
In the case of Rob Porter, though, when Vice President Pence says that the White House could have handled it better, what should it have done?
Oh, I would say once you get when you have someone, I've been through the executive office of the president background check. It is extensive. People go to your house. They walk down the street. They talk to your neighbors. They go through the entire process. If you cannot get your clearance, someone should have noticed that and should have asked why. And then they should be ratcheting back his responsibilities, not looking forward to trying to promote him to a new job.
Alice, are there going to be political implications from this? Is President Trump going to be hurt by the way this was handled?
If he doesn't change what he has done to date. And to Lisa's question with regard to what could they have done differently, by all accounts, this White House knew about these allegations last year, as early as March, based on what FBI Director Wray said yesterday. And if not then, by July or by January. And the problem with what they should have done is the very moment that they learned of these allegations, which are credible, the very moment they heard of that, Rob Porter should have packed his bags and been gone. And not only that, this was an opportunity for the White House, and I still don't think it's too late, for them to take a stand on domestic violence. 1 in 4 women are victims of physical abuse by their partner. 1 in 7 men, and not to mention the countless children who are in these families. And, and this White House has basically set a tone to where the men will be believed, the women will be denigrated, and will sweep this under the rug. And this is an opportunity, and I like I said, I still think they can. To send a message with regard to domestic violence, empowering women and letting men know who do this heinous act, there are consequences. And one of them is you cannot work in the White House. And people, while he may have had a stellar pedigree and had an Ivy League education, someone who has such abhorrent personal behavior, despite their public appearance, that is disqualifying for public service, in my view.
So why would we not hear anything from President Trump about this? I mean, he had a couple of opportunities just yesterday to speak out against spousal abuse or any kind of abuse or express support for abused women, and he did not do that. Donald Trump won 52% of white women's vote in 2016. Would it not behoove him politically, if not morally, to speak out about this?
I would argue that the women who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 were not gender voters. Some of them may be upset with him right now, but they knew in 2016 that he was on that bus in Access Hollywood and talked about grabbing women by the genitals. They knew that he had this kind of weird past, Ivana Trump, his wife, who claimed that perhaps he had been physical in their relationship earlier but then took it back. They knew these things about Donald Trump.
So you don't think that support's in jeopardy now then?
Well, I think that people are raising a lot of questions about Trump, and we're seeing, particularly, I think, a lot of white women who have been showing up. Listen, there was a white woman in Charlottesville, Virginia, who was protesting against neo-Nazis who was killed by a terrorist, and the president of the United States said there were lots of fine people on that side. There is nothing about this president that says he ever sides with the women in these cases.
And if I can add with regard to that, domestic violence and spousal abuse is apolitical. It is non-gender. It is non-race. It is non-partisan. I'm hearing from just as many men as I am from women that are disappointed in the way this administration has handled this. So if they don't change how they have responded to this, I truly believe he's in jeopardy of losing support from men and women. But again, I will hold out hope that they will take an opportunity to speak out on this.
Just in the couple minutes we have left, I want to pivot to another important topic, which is immigration. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is limiting debate on immigration to just this week, even though lawmakers so far cannot find a way to help those young immigrants whose deportation protections expire on March 5th. Let's listen.
There's no reason not to come together and get a solution this week. This has been going on endlessly. They shut down the government over this. I want to see what they want to do.
Just about 30 seconds for each of you. Jamal, starting with you, do you think there's going to be a deal on immigration?
I think that Mitch McConnell's full of it. I think that what they are doing is pretending as if they want an immigration deal, but not actually interested in getting one. We will see. And the Democrats, frankly, have given away their Trump card, so to speak. Without being willing to shut down the government, I'm not sure what price the Republicans pay if you don't get an immigration deal.
Alice?
And I think it really makes it difficult to come to a compromise when the president has come right out and said, if we don't stand firm on these specific issues, there will be no immigration deal. I think you have to go into these conversations with all options on the table. I support the version of the bill that Tom Cotton supports, which provides provisions for Dreamers and DACA recipients, but it also has funding for the wall. It ends chain migration and also really revamps the visa lottery program. So I think it's going to be difficult.
Right.
And as of now, it doesn't look very likely.
Well, we'll have to see what happens with immigration. We've also got Mitt Romney apparently about to expect tomorrow that he's going to run for the Senate in Utah. Bob Corker might be back. We'll have to watch. Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist, and Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.